y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who pose as heroes, take advantage of blacks. The government's gangsters, so cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at? Fight for power, cause great responsibility. F the police, but who's stopping you from killing me? Disasters, fiascos, a loop by P.E. If it's I instead of we believe in TV.
Well, hello.
Hi.
This is... you're on the wrong one,
Holly. That's my fault.
There we go.
Got it.
We are Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor. And that is
Hi.
Producer Ryan McGibney. Are you okay, Holly?
I have a limp mic. Look at it.
Oh, that you need to stroke it a little bit, Holly. Make
I'm just
that,
not sure what's wrong with
make
it.
Make that microphone erect. Are you good?
I think I'll be fine. What's going on?
All right. Well, we are back after a week off of vacation. We all had different things going on.
I was on
a cruise. Holly was in Cleveland, Ohio, where she's from, and visited other childhood places.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan was here in Tampa Bay, Florida.
I was.
Before we get to that, I've had two requests of things that we should talk about to kick off the podcast before we sort of recap our vacations and what happened.
Okay.
The first one is somebody asked us to talk about Demi Lovato's new song, Sorry Not Sorry. They wanted us to hear. They wanted to know what we thought about it.
Because I'm assuming because we, for a very long time, had a running bit called Sorry Not Sorry.
We did. And we just sort of like put it out to pasture. Sorry Not Sorry. Wasn't a big fanfare. It was just sort of like, we just stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Holly, explain the history behind Sorry Not Sorry, the bit we did for a long time.
So when we were in Panama City, I don't know how, I know exactly where and when it was, but I don't know particularly why.
Mm-hmm.
I came up with this bit of stuff that you should feel guilty about, but you don't,
mm-hmm.
called Sorry Not Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And in Panama City, it became a fan favorite. Like,
yeah.
It was huge in Panama City. Everybody, everywhere we would go, people were sorry, not sorry. And they would say what they were sorry, not sorry about. We even had shirts. Like, we had this hashtag trending. It was huge. So then, of course, when we came to Tampa and we were looking for things to do on a recurring basis, we figured, well, obviously, Sorry Not Sorry does really well, so
right.
we'll put it into the mix. And it did okay. I feel like Tampa Bay didn't really latch on to it like Panama City did.
Right.
First of all, and also second of all, it may have just been... we may have just been getting over a whole Sorry Not Sorry culture, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I caught on to it right at a good time in Panama City. I think it was like 2013 or 2014. So it didn't really catch on as well in Tampa. And then every time we did it, it would be a struggle getting people to call and actually submit their Sorry Not Sorries. And for just as just behind the scenes info for both Miguel and I, we had been doing Sorry Not Sorry on a weekly basis for like 4 years now.
Yeah.
There's not that much stuff to be sorry not sorry about. Like, by the time we were getting ready to wrap it up, we didn't have anything left.
No, and that's why we sort of just, I think there was like one Monday, there was something else that was like bigger that we talked about.
Yeah.
And then I looked at Holly after the show and I was like, did you really miss Sorry Not Sorry? Do you think anyone will miss Sorry Not Sorry if we don't do it? And she was like, I don't think so. So then we were like, all right, we're done. We're moving on.
We didn't even say anything about it. Didn't get like a fan farewell or anything.
No, it was just like...
Nobody said anything either. But people do still sometimes associate that with us.
Yeah.
Which makes my ego happy. But that's fine. It's okay.
Well, because of that, Demi Lovato... Well, not because of our segment,
no,
but
no.
Demi Lovato has just released a song called Sorry Not Sorry. And someone asked her, like, can you just tell us what you think? And I've only listened to just like a little bit of it. I haven't listened to the whole thing.
Okay.
So we can listen to a little bit of it.
I'm out here looking like revenge, feeling like a 10, the best I ever been. And yeah, I know how bad it must hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now you're out here looking like regret, ain't too proud to beg, second chance you'll never get. And yeah, I know how bad it must hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Not payback is a bad
savage. And baby, I'm the baddest. You fucking with a savage. Oh. Can't have this, can't have this.
Thank God we're not on air.
Maybe nice of me to take it easy on ya, but nah.
It's a music video.
Oh,
it's a gay couple.
Don't tell your mother. Who's next?
Can I just say the one thing, like the unfortunately stereotypical thing that just popped into my head?
What is that?
Having not seen the music video at all, just listening to the song. I feel like this song is, it would serve very well for the montage of a Tyler Perry female cast movie of a like mousy black woman who gets left by her man, and then her girlfriends take her out and get her dressed up,
yes!
And they see him, and he like bites his lip, and then she goes, "This."
Mm-hmm.
That's what this should be for.
She's like, "You fucking with a savage."
Yes, I really.
Sorry, not sorry, bitch.
I really enjoy it. Like,
and
I
then
feel
all
like,
her girlfriends are like, mm-hmm.
And then like one of them does like a snap. I'm sorry. I know that's so terrible, but
well,
like,
that's exactly how the music video goes, Holly.
It should. If it, if it just
I'm just
like,
kidding. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Just.
What's the music video about?
It's basically sort of like her throwing a house party and like everybody sort of going crazy and they're in a hot tub.
They're savages.
Yeah, they're being savages. They're making out. There's like a gay couple making out, like a lesbian making out with a guy, sort of all over the place.
Damn.
So I like it. So Ryan, let's go to Ryan first. Ryan, what do you think?
I could hear that on hot.
Well, do you like it?
I mean, I don't typically listen to that type of music, no. But it's good for what it is.
For what it is.
For what it is, for that pop bullshit.
I think it's better than a lot of the other stuff.
Other pop bullshit.
Valid. The other pop bullshit. No.
Better than Zara Larsson.
I can tell a good catchy song when I hear one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Holly.
I think it should be on Hot 115 eventually.
I like
when
it.
When was it released?
We're not going to play it.
July 19th.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's not trending.
You know, this is the thing I've never understood about the radio industry is like, why isn't this a hit? Like, why don't we play this?
It would be a hit if you played it more.
Unfortunately, like, radio state, this is one of the things that I dislike about radio, mm-hmm. is that we have to pay attention to like what other cities are doing and like what other, mm-hmm. like, it's not just, is this a good song?
Right.
It's like, what does the rest of the music atmosphere look like right mm-hmm. now? Is something else like this right now? Like, is it a sleeper hit where we can maybe pop it in and then it's going to grow? Is it just not a hit? Like, I really like Lady Gaga's The Cure.
Oh,
and
so
some
good.
Stations played it, not us.
Right.
We played it like once.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't say that I know how music direction works or how PDs and MDs do their
There's
job.
There's a lot of different factors that go into it.
It's a lot.
Surveying.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Trend. Ending, like, you know, metering.
Yeah. Like, what do people do when they listen fully to the song?
Yeah.
Do they like it at first and then do they drop off
like
halfway click
through? Like, click outs mm-hmm. and then, like, what other markets are doing.
Mm-hmm. It's
so it's
just
like
a
big collective effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work that goes into it. But I liked the song.
Yeah.
If it's like the sassy up-tempo version of Charlie Puth's Attention.
Mm.
Like the message is the same.
But you know, things can surprise us because I remember my friend Carlos, he played for me Charlie Puth's Attention back maybe. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really good. We'll never play it. But we are playing it.
Right.
So you never know. I mean, that's the thing about radio is like, oh, I'm trying to think. There was a song last year that I was like, oh my God, this is a great song, and but we're not going to play it, and we didn't play it. And then like 6 months later, it was like, it blew up everywhere. So you, I don't remember what song it was, but you just, you really never know sometimes.
Well, what, and you know what else I was going to say about Demi Lovato too, is that her music sometimes is hit or miss. With, remember when Cool for the Summer came out? We played it a lot on Hot. That was a pretty big summer hit 2 years ago, I think. And in Panama City, where we came from, I remember one of the guys that worked on that radio station, lamenting that that Cool for the Summer song wasn't a hit. And I was like, what are you talking about? We're playing the shit out of it. And in Panama City, it was not a hit. People didn't want to hear it. Like, they would play it and then get feedback that like, no, no thanks, I'm not into this song.
I mean, it's very similar to like we talked about with the bit Sorry Not Sorry.
Yes.
I mean, something we learned early on in our radio careers is that your audience will tell you what they like and what they don't like. And there was a bit that we thought was genius. Remember, damn, that's kinky, girl.
Yes.
And the first time we did it at a radio, another radio station in Tampa, I mean, we got calls every week. People loved it. They would say, say the phrase, Miguel. They loved it. Then we took it to Panama City. They didn't really like it. We tried it here in Tampa, and the ratings would just go down as soon as we did it.
Right. It's like you don't know how to catch lightning in a bottle like
you
that.
You really don't. So, so, oh God, what's her name? And she tweets us all the time. Why am I missing her name?
Crystal?
Not Crystal. Jenny.
Jenny Utrowski.
Yes, Utrowski.
Is it Utrowski? I gotta pull it up.
Utrowski.
Oh, wait a minute.
She tweets us, and she
does. She's an avid podcast follower.
She is, and I love her Snapchat. Her Snapchat is really funny. She's very funny. Is Jenny, you said? Utrowski?
Gosh dang it. You know how you try to search
here
for
we go.
A bitch
yeah,
on-
it's Jenny. Yeah. Jenny.
Let me just.
How do you, U-T, oh, I shouldn't say her, spell it out. How do
no,
you say
No, I'm
it?
Sorry, it's not. I messed it totally up. It's Utrowska.
Utrowska?
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 Yeah.
I don't know, but she's really pretty, too. She's very pretty.
She's gonna punch us in the face for not getting her name right.
I know, right?
I would.
So, okay, so there was that. Jenny wanted us to, she asked us to talk about that.
Cool.
And then we had someone else say, please talk about, ready for this, Donald Trump and the transgender stuff that happened. Because when we talk about it on the air, we don't like to delve deep. Well, first, we don't have the time to really delve deep into something like that. That's a discussion that takes time to talk about.
That's how I feel about that.
About the, oh, the. You have to explain what you just showed me. This is radio.
I know. I just saw this and you were talking about that. Somebody tagged me in this. It's a girl holding up her middle finger to another person. It's like a comic. And then the next one is her middle finger on his face. And then the third part of it is her smearing her middle finger around her, at the guy's face. And it says, everyone have walked up to someone and just dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what we're all pretty much feeling. I mean, it's obvious, I feel like, for us. And first off, if you were living under a rock, and by the time you listen to the podcast and you don't know what's happened, Donald Trump basically sent out some tweets that said, I want to ban transgender people from the military because of cost. It's a burden on the American taxpayer system. I'm obviously paraphrasing his tweets, but he sent out three tweets. And so it was a shock to everyone, even his own staff. Like, I'm really curious, after everything is over, when Donald Trump is done being president, I will be so curious on his staffers, because they're going to make a killing writing books about how everything is run.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly there's no communication. Donald Trump is, I'm assuming, sitting up in the White House in his bedroom.
He's a loose cannon with that Twitter.
And he's just sitting there with his phone and just tweeting out stuff. And all these people are sitting in their apartments and they wake up and then they have CNN calling saying, hey, so Donald Trump just sent this tweet. And they're like, I thought we were talking about healthcare.
No comment right now. Shit. That's what I imagine goes on.
Exactly. So I can't wait until they write memoirs about how things work. So, I mean, I think it's obvious to say, I feel like all of us here are were dismayed and shocked and obviously think that it's wrong.
You can speak for all of us, I think.
That that people are banned. I mean, I feel like it's just common sense. Like, why would you want to ban people from the military? I mean, who want to serve our country, who want to sacrifice their life.
And my biggest question when I saw the tweets yesterday, I was like the main point of the tweet was like, it costs too much. And I'm like, what costs what?
Wait, like, we spend, what, like trillions of dollars on wars that really don't affect us, and yet people that are Americans who want to serve our country, we can't pay however much, what, $2, $3, $4, $5 million out of the $1 trillion, $1 billion we spend on the defense budget?
I don't know.
Really?
But then, you know what? We did have a caller who at least was able to break it down. He said he didn't agree with it, especially the fact that it had been tweeted.
Right.
He was able to break it down a little bit and explain what the process was, because obviously none of us are in the military.
Right.
So he was able to explain it from a military personnel point of view, and he said, you know, let's just say this would be like worst case military scenario.
Right.
You have someone who enters the military, goes through basic training, and then is like, you know what? I need to have gender reassignment surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically when you're in, from what this gentleman said, he said it's the 3-year committal. So the boot camp and everything, that's part of it. But then, like, let's say this person got through and then was like, I want gender reassignment surgery. Then that's like a year long process and you're basically out of commission. You can't be deployed. You can't do any of that. So that's like a third of your
contracted time
that you're actually not doing your job with the military.
Right.
You are, you know, going through the very intense gender reassignment process.
Right.
And then once that, it's like,
okay, so just say that they can't do that while they're in the military.
Right. And so
problem solved.
There could have been different, like, this is what I'm saying. This is such a complex issue.
Right.
You can't just put a blanket out and be like, no transgenders. Okay, well, what does that even mean?
Right.
Are there stipulations? Because what if we're talking about someone who is like 10 years post-op and they're like, I really want to serve my country.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm not getting reassignment surgery now.
No sort of surgeries that would hinder your performance.
No.
During your contracted job.
You're mentally
there
sound.
You go.
I mean.
Also, they're not going to get it paid for. That's like something you pay for out of your pocket. No insurance company covers that surgery. It's not like the government pays.
Is that true?
Just don't pay for the surgery.
Right. Well, like, see, that's the thing.
That's fine.
If you had someone that was like, maybe it's like taken care of under some insurances, but then if it comes into like government insurance, so then you're asking the government to pay for which would be taxpayer money going toward gender reassignment surgery. And I imagine that some taxpayers would not feel comfortable with that, I guess.
But at the same time, they're giving.
But
at the same time, though, they're giving their life. So if that's a decision that they feel like they need to make, if they're making the ultimate sacrifice for us, why the fuck should we have any say in what they want to do with their body?
This is what they're. These are all.
I mean, but that's the thing, is that it should be a discussion.
Right.
I don't think it should be a discussion. If you want to sacrifice your life, and as long as it's not preventing you from doing that or whatever the discussion is, you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Right.
Because I'm not volunteering to do it.
Well, then to counter you, in order to have this round table.
Right.
So that we're not all just like, yep, fuck everybody. Say someone comes in and it's like, okay, I also want to give my life, but I don't want to pay for someone else's gender reassignment. Assignment surgery.
Say that one more time.
If I also want to join the military, so we're on equal footing, we're
right.
both offering to give our lives to the country.
Okay.
But my whatever it is, religious stature, my belief is that I don't, as a taxpayer, want to pay for someone else's gender reassignment surgery. Then what?
When you pay taxes, you can't earmark where your money goes to.
But I think you can because of the separation by church and state.
No, you can't. Like, when you pay money.
But isn't that the biggest. The biggest fight over where the money goes.
Yeah.
But to me, and this is a discussion that I have with people, is that once they take taxes out of my thing, I can't decide where it's going to go. Like, I don't want my money to go to, you know, just for example, like faith-based religious things, which sometimes it does go to, but I can't control that. The government earmarks where that money goes to.
I know, but I don't think it does. Like, I don't think they spend government money on religious stuff.
They get tax-free exemption, so they don't have to pay taxes in the stuff. And so some people think that's not fair for those big mega churches to take in millions of dollars.
The mega churches.
Exactly.
Let's not get started.
So I'm just saying,
I don't
like,
have all the facts, but I'm just saying,
right.
I'm just saying for someone... That could be an issue.
Right.
But I don't know because right. I don't know exactly where all the texts.
So who's to say that your faith is more important than what this person is feeling emotionally?
It's not. I'm just saying that this is the crux of the situation.
And that's what I would tell somebody is I'd be like, okay, well, that's what you believe. So because of what you believe in, because of your personal religion.
Right.
Are you saying that, you know, homegirl over here can't have her gender reassignment surgery because of your religious beliefs?
But yes, she can. But I don't want to pay for it.
But are they paying for it?
I don't know. Right.
I don't know how
no
the surgery
idea.
Works, but I assume that plastic surgery or any elective willing
surgery.
Body alterations that are not medically needed are not paid for by insurance.
Right.
That's out
and
of
that
your
could
pocket
be a
anyways.
Whole different, like, I don't
but
have
then who's to say that it's not
to
needed?
Have that part of the conversation.
And who's to say if
I don't know if it's under a medical bill like that.
Right. And exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I don't know all that.
Who's to say that it's not? Because we're saying, oh, it's just plastic surgery. But to someone who feels like they're stuck in the wrong body, it's not plastic surgery. It's not cosmetic.
No, it's
not
cosmetic.
It's a deep thing.
But I don't know if it's classified under
as
a medical
diagnosis. Emergency,
right?
Like they have to change something. You know?
I mean, but this is the thing that I just get so frustrated. It's like he just sends out three tweets.
This is what,
when
it,
but
it's
doesn't
like,
three discuss, tweets. Yeah.
Right? There's no discussion. There's no account for these are human lives that you're
right.
talking about.
He's that girl in high school that just goes on MySpace and puts people on blast.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think everyone in this country should agree. I mean, I feel so strongly about this. You should not be making policy decisions through fucking Twitter.
No, not at all.
But
not in the least.
All those things are just, aren't they just stuff that he wants? But then he has to like go through a bunch of like bills and stuff and people have to vote on it anyways.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because the Joint Chiefs said,
no point.
If you are transgender, we're not kicking you out.
Right.
Because there's been no policy. There's been no executive order.
No.
This was just a tweet.
It was just tweets.
That's it.
But apparently his tweets serve as official missives. So like, what does that mean? That's what everyone's like, if I'm transgender, what the fuck does that mean for my life?
Mm-hmm.
And it just is so frustrating because look at all the questions that we just had. Do you think he could answer any of them?
Right.
As our commander-in-chief?
No.
Because I sure the fuck think he could not.
No. If Donald Trump walked in here right now and we had a calm discussion and said, okay, we just want to ask you questions. I'm not attacking you.
No.
I just want to know. So what does this mean? How does this play into this? And
right.
And he'd be like, well,
we're spending a great amount of money.
Just
on what?
Bigly.
Sir, where? How?
He can't answer these questions because
they're
he has no idea what the implications mean.
So there you go. Those are our thoughts right there.
Yes.
If you're conservative and if you want to have a say, please feel free to email us and we'll have you on and you can talk about it because obviously we're sort of all on the same path. Holly does a great job about trying to see the other side when it comes to that.
It's because I live with a very conservative woman.
Right. And
so that's why I feel like I'm able to at least speak because if I didn't live with my mom and at least see some of her stuff that she goes through on mm-hmm. whatever, if I didn't live with her, I would have a hard time. We'd have a very one-sided podcast where we'd be like, I don't know.
Right. And so for me, it's hard because I know people that have gone. I have seen several guys who have transitioned into being a woman
right.
and the struggles that they go through and knowing how heartbreaking and how heart-wrenching it is to go through that process and then to have someone be like, well, I don't want to pay for it because of my personal beliefs. So you're telling this so we've gone over it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the point.
Right.
Nobody can make you do something that you don't want to do.
Right.
And you, your whatever it is that is going on in your life shouldn't negatively impact something that's going on in someone else's life.
Exactly.
So, and that goes for both sides.
Right.
Like, you can't say you owe me money and I can't say you can't get surgery.
Right.
You both deserve respect for your opinions and positions. Just because you think one way, it doesn't make it right, Miguel.
Definitely. No. I got it. No, I get it. I get
do
it.
Do you?
I get it. No, I do. I think it's bullshit because I think that if that is a job, and like I said, we don't know the facts.
Right.
So I don't know what it, like how the insurance works. Like, I don't know how any of that stuff works.
These are the biggest questions.
Exactly.
And that would clear, if He had a brain.
Right.
Sorry. These are the questions that the American people want answers to, and right. he doesn't provide them.
And that's the thing, is that I don't know how it works if you're in the military, like if you work and if money comes out of your check for insurance like it does for us.
Right.
I don't know how that works.
I have no idea.
But let's just say that it does, sure. and you're telling me, so like now, we work for Cox Media Group. I don't know if our insurance covers that, but let's just say it did.
Okay.
And let's say that if I want to join the military, and if I'm working, and I'm putting in, and I'm paying my money, mm-hmm. you know, to my insurance company. And then all of a sudden you're going to tell me that because Susie Homemaker or wherever in Nebraska doesn't want me to have gender reassignment surgery, even though I've worked in the military and I've paid my insurance.
Right.
Who the fuck are you? Like, why? I paid my money too.
Right.
You don't have control over me. Like, you lose that control when you pay your taxes. So fuck you. So yes, I understand where you're coming from in that sense.
Right.
But at the same time, if I'm in the military, I'm like, well, bitch, I've been in Iraq protecting your ass so you can go to church, so you can worship and believe what you believe.
Sure.
But now you're encroaching on me when I've been protecting you.
Right.
And so to me, that's where I could feel the frustration of someone who is transgender and going through that.
Right. And I get that because obviously I'm on that side.
Right.
As the devil's advocate in this mm-hmm. room. So like, then what's to say mm. that you... I'm trying to think of an example of like where it would be the reverse. So
right.
like you, let's say some portion of federal tax dollars are earmarked for I don't know, let's just go crazy.
Okay.
Let's just say some portion of federal tax dollars are earmarked for gay conversion therapy.
Right.
Which you obviously would, that's insane.
Right.
Like, this right. is like a crazy example.
Right, this is just, right.
This is just hypothetical. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I will not pay for that.
Right.
And then somebody's like, it is my choice mm-hmm. as to whether, like, they're gay. And they're like, I need mm-hmm. to get gay conversion therapy or whatever, I don't know, whatever it is.
Right.
And they're like, but you have to pay for it, sorry.
Right. If my money is going to, okay, first off, when they take taxes out of my, wait, hold on. Now, are you saying this person's in the military and that they want to get gay conversion therapy? Or
sure,
is it just a...
It's any situation where
right,
you
you're in the
have
military.
To, not in the military. It's any situation where you're, the dollars that are being taken out for whatever are going to a whatever that you don't want.
Right.
That you're morally opposed to.
I'm trying to like reach my brain around it. I'm trying to think of a situation.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so I'm trying here to
that
reach.
That you're like morally, like you believe this is wrong, and it is just you wouldn't want to
okay,
fund
so,
it or
so,
whatever.
So let's say that Planned Parenthood offered a gay conversion therapy.
Sure.
And you could go, just so it makes sense in my head.
Yes.
Would I want my taxpayer dollars to go through that? Well, obviously, no.
Right.
I would be morally against that.
Right.
But also, because if it's been researched and it's not harming someone and they're not going to try to commit suicide after that.
Right.
Then if that's where my taxpayer dollars are going, yes. But to me, that's just apples and oranges. Like that
it's
doesn't.
Not, I'm just trying to line it up with something that would be equivalent.
But here's the thing is that it's not, though. Like, there's nothing we can try and sit here and try to fit it in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not, though. Like, there's nothing, and maybe I'm completely wrong, and maybe someone will email us and say, well, you're missing this whole big old other side of it. But to me, there's nothing, there's nothing to the equivalent of that. Does that make sense? Because there's nothing from
I can't think of any. I don't know what it. I don't know what it'd be. I'm just trying to provide devil's advocacy the opposite would be.
Sometimes there's not, though, and that's the problem when it came to gay marriage.
Right.
Like when they went to the Supreme Court and the other side tried to argue it, and they were like, "All right, so," and the Supreme Court said, "So why shouldn't there be gay marriage?"
Right.
And they literally,
there's
if you
no
watch
reason.
The movie, they were like, after going through like the religious things, they were like, okay, but how is this affecting society? They could not come up with an answer.
It's because there wasn't.
And so that's why I was trying to wrap my brain around that example. And I'm thinking about like your mom,
mm-hmm.
who I know she loves me and she loves all people,
mm-hmm.
but there's not an equivalent of that for her or
right.
for like, you know, whatever straight person who doesn't, you know, want transgender in the military. Like, there's not an equivalent for them that our taxpayer dollars are going to.
This is why I came up with such an insane
right.
example, because I don't, I would need to sit and go through some books or some shit.
It's just there's not.
Right.
There's nothing that our taxpayer dollars are going to that could potentially like
see,
make someone commit suicide.
That's the downfall. Does it become a mental health issue then?
What do you mean of gender reassignment?
Right.
I think,
do you put it under that category so that it skirts the religion issue?
No, I don't think so, because I don't know.
I don't know. See, there
I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a medical professional.
Sure? This is why three tweets is the most ridiculous bullshit. How did this person become elected to be the president of the United States
right.
thing that has happened, I think, probably one of the biggest things thus far.
It's we can beat this horse for a very long time. So, this poor dead horse.
It's sad.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, 2020.
Amen! I'm voting for The Rock. Fuck y'all.
Well, let's do a little change here. Let's.
Oh.
All right. I feel like I need to cleanse the air.
Where did Billie Jean come from?
It's on the Dove.
Oh, I thought you had pulled it up.
No, we're in the Dove studio at one of our sister stations.
Yeah.
So vacation time.
Yes.
Vacation time. We need to talk about what actually happened on our vacations and all the shenanigans that went on. Holly, you were in Cleveland, Ohio.
I was.
Now, you went with Mr. Dimples.
I did.
Your boyfriend.
Yep.
So you went to Cleveland, your home, with your boyfriend, Mr. Dimples, your mom, and your soon-to-be 4-year-old daughter.
Correct.
How did that go?
I mean, it went. Oh. Honestly, it was a good trip. It was good because it was so packed in with stuff. Like, we went on a Wednesday. I ended up having some ear thing that I had to go to the doctor for, so really nothing happened on Wednesday other than we got in kind of late and I had to go to the doctor anyway, and then we just went to sleep.
Well, how was traveling, though? Like, let's back up there. How was traveling? Because I feel like your mom is very much...
Gosh, she is.
...a, like, oh, my gosh, we need to have this and this and this, and then your daughter is like, mama, mama.
By the time we had gotten to my Auntie Pearl's house, I was, like, squeezing Mr. Dimple's hand, and I was like, please help me not strangle my mom. Just because,
what was the worst thing your mom did?
I'm trying to think now. Because, like, later on, you can't always remember it in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I don't know. Because with her, it's like you have to... she's very much... It's like she knows what's best.
Right.
And if you don't do it how she wants to do it, mm-hmm. that's when there starts to be issues. And then she gets really ruffled. And then I'm like... Why it gotta be your way?
Right.
So it's just these like butt head moments, you know. But then it was fine. Like we worked it all out. And then I really wish I could think of the specific example where I was like, really? I don't know what it was.
How did your mom and Mr. Dimples get along during the weekend?
My mom loves him. Like has loved him from the get go.
Oh.
So she was very excited that he was coming.
Right.
And, my daughter really likes him, so it was good. And like the travel was okay. Like traveling with a almost 4-year-old is tough. I feel like this is such a stupid thing, and I'm like, I'm not even gonna fight it. But like, I swipe my card on the plane. They have the TV screens in the back of the seat in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and I swipe my card because it was like $5.99 for the TV package for flights under 2 hours, and $7.99 for like longer flights, and then you can watch whatever. And I was like, oh, Beauty and the Beast, this is good. She can watch Beauty and the Beast, so because
right.
she likes that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I swipe it. We start Beauty and the Beast. She has all these issues with the damn earbuds because she has tiny ears and they don't work with earbuds. I don't have headphones. Do you carry headphones with you? No. So for like the first 20 minutes of this movie, I'm trying to hold the earbuds in for her. I told her to hold them in. I'm like, put one in and I'll put the other one in my ear so we could both listen. She's restless. And then finally, like, a flight attendant comes by and I'm like, do you have actual headphones? And he's like, nope. I was like, so I just literally paid $6 for nothing. Thanks, United. It's fine. It's not their fault. It's my own, but whatever. And then I get the bill and they charge me $7.99. So I was like, all right. It's $2. I don't give a fuck. But, like, it just was the principle of the thing. So that didn't go over well. Then she slept on the second flight next to my mom, and I was like, must be nice. And then crazy ear thing, got that fixed, antibiotics. The next day we went to Ohio Northern, where I went to school,
mm-hmm.
met up with one of my friends there who used to be a tour guide when we were going to school there. So she, like, gave us a little tour, like old days. We tried to go to the bar that we used to go to. There's, like, one in Ada, and it was closed. Not permanently, but closed for the day, and we were just very disappointed.
What's it called?
The Regal Beagle. Nobody even called it that, though. You just call it the bar because there's one.
That literally sounds like the whitest, most Ohio name for a bar.
Yep.
The Regal Beagle. Like, all I see are white girls in, like, dark colored clothes with, like, pale skin drinking beer.
Yes. That's correct. That's all it is. And it has, like, carpet that was probably installed in, like, 1972 that's still there. Like, I don't know if they allow smoking there anymore, but they did forever, even when I was there. So
it probably still smells like it.
Smells like dank, gross smoke.
Ugh.
And it's just...
Sounds regal.
Yeah, there's nothing regal about it. So we wanted to go there and have a beer, and they were closed, so that was a bummer. Met up with some... people I used to work with when I graduated college and moved half an hour up the road. I did radio for 4 years at a country station, and my friends from that group are still in that area. So we met up for dinner.
Oh, nice.
And I got so drunk that I ended up singing karaoke at like a restaurant.
Oh, gosh.
It was so embarrassing. And after that.
Which restaurant?
Some place called Luke's, where apparently they went viral because one time a deer ran into their restaurant. So
they probably have it on like their big sign outside.
Probably. So it was gross. And it was just, the food was like okay, but it was really great to see the guys.
Mm.
So that was really cool. I got drunk, sang karaoke. Mr. Dimples and I like got lost coming back from there.
Ugh.
And then the next day, we ran around, saw my best friend. She had a baby 5 months ago, saw her, saw one of my other great friends from college briefly, another friend from college who opened a candy shop that's doing really well in Cleveland that was like endorsed by Elton Brown.
Oh.
Went to the candy shop.
Is she rich?
No, because when you open a business like that and it's in like the first 5 years, you're barely like treading water.
Oh, did she ask you for money?
No, but I did buy a bunch of chocolates. It was really good. And then had a big family get together at Auntie Pearl's house on Friday night. So they all met my boyfriend.
Wow. So how was that? Did you mean for this to be like the tour of Mr. Dimples?
No, but I did mean for it to be the tour of Ohio. And then it just sort of obviously happened that way since he came.
Right.
But it was good. My best friend texted me after we left her house and she went, "I love him. He's perfect for you."
Oh.
So that was like a nice little endorsement.
He's perfect for you.
Yeah. So,
It's cute.
And I have one more tidbit.
Yes. Wait, do I need to get some music ready or something?
You're getting married?
Probably. We're not getting married.
Wait, hold on. Let me get some music here. I think I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me just do a little. All right. Hold on. Oh, non-premium skippable ad.
All these ads.
Or premium non-skippable ad.
Whatever they are.
I'm dyslexic. All right. Whenever you're ready, how'd it go?
So I have sort of felt this way for a while. And also, I know for sure that he felt this way. So I wasn't really nervous about this whole thing. But
okay.
And this happened on the way coming home from the drunken escapade over in Findlay, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a conversation a while back about how people say I love you in relationships. Uh-oh.
Wonder where this is going, Ryan.
Yep.
Where?
I don't know what happened. I was like just pouring out like all of this stuff and like all these emotions. And then he said to me, "You know, I'm falling in love with you." To which I then looked him dead in his eye sockets and went, I know. I love you. So it was a big I love you fest.
Oh, dee-dong-dong. Dee-dong-dong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Be-dong-dong. So, Holly.
Congrats.
Thanks.
What's, did y'all do it after that?
Probably. No, yeah, we did.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, because last time we were talking about where and when you're going to be able to. So, what?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Where?
Upstairs in my Auntie Pearl's pull-out bed.
What?
Was it squeaky at all? A little noisy?
It was it's all carpeted, so not really. There was a bar in the back of that thing, man.
Oh,
back
wow.
Is killing me.
Back is getting,
girl, he blew your back out.
Oh man,
Mr. Dimples.
Okay. funny.
Mr. Dimples blew your back out. In the
oh, okay. Maybe we can stop saying that.
Oh, my day's been made.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
So it's still sore?
No, it's, no. There, this.
You don't have to go to Dr. Joe to
I
fix
don't.
It.
There's the scabs on my back are healed, healing.
The what?
Scabs. Like
scabs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because like that bar, the mattress was only like 3 inches thick and the bar, so like, you know.
Oh, wow.
Back, what? Like,
oh my God.
Wait, what was that again?
Scraped up. Like.
What was that? How did that happen?
You heard it.
What did it sound like?
You got it.
Or was it more like.
I don't really know what the difference is, but.
There's a difference between. And.
Okay.
So. Blew that back out, bitch! Yes!
Did you? You didn't have to get stitches or anything?
Nope. I'm really glad you took
just
this
a Band-Aid
moment and made it into this.
Some Neosporin.
I'm good.
Oh, God,
did you
I
see
can't.
It? It hurt my back.
Wow. All right. So y'all had a good trip then through Ohio.
We had a good trip. Real
got,
good.
Saw some old friends. Awesome. Saw Auntie Pearl. Got your black back blown out.
Yep.
Awesome. So Miguel, how was your cruise?
Oh.
Did you get your back blown out?
Did you get your back blown out? Did you blow somebody's back out? Or both?
Oh, wow. My trip was good. So I went on the cruise with my college friends. We went to Miami. Last Friday night, and I could just tell as soon as we all got up together, I was like, this is about to be a crazy ass time, because not only was it my two college friends, John and Brandon, my roommate Alex went with us as well, and my friend Adam and his boyfriend went along, and so you could just feel it in the air. So we went out in Miami Friday night to this gay club called Twist. And everyone's pretty. I mean, it's Miami. So, like, everybody's, like, fashionably dressed. Everyone's super pretty. Lots of Cuban men with muscles all around. In this bar, it has, like, probably 5 or 6 different rooms. And in one of the rooms, that's where all the dancers are. And so this really attractive man came over to me who was a dancer. And he just had on, like, briefs or whatever. And he starts, like, rubbing my shoulders. And he's like, ooh. You have knots in your back.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, and
you're
my,
naughty, Miguel.
I'm very naughty.
Let me see if I can rub those out.
I thankfully, it was at the beginning of the night. And so I let him rub me down for like a quick second because it was in front of everyone.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, well, do you want to go to the back room and I can rub it all out? And there was like that brief moment where you're like, no, I'm good. He goes, are you sure? I was like, don't ask me again. No, because if you ask me again, I might say yes. So I gave him $5 for it. And then I told my friends, we need to get the fuck out of this
rubbing
room.
Rubbing your back, you gave him $5?
Well, I didn't have any ones, so I gave him a $5. So I felt like he spent a good 3 minutes over near me. So I felt like I had to compensate
one
him
of the
for
dancers.
His work. Yeah, because he was one of the dancers. So I felt like I had to compensate him for his work. So I gave him $5. And I said, we cannot go back in this room. If I get drunk and I go back in that room, I may lose my 401k.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So we enjoyed the night. One of my friends was like hitting on the bartender like real hard and everyone was just like wasted. So I wasn't like super, super drunk, but I was like, it's time for us to go. We got to get up and get on the cruise tomorrow. So we walked down the street and went to had a Burger King burger bar. So we went there and we're all eating. Everyone's drunk and we're eating. And then my grinder starts popping off. It's like Tinder, but for gays. And this guy was like, hey, I'm a couple of blocks away. You should come over. And I was like, no, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
What do you look like?
Okay.
Send a picture. So I put my friends in the Uber. I sent them back to the hotel and I took an Uber to this person's house and I went over there and then we sat up and then we had Bible study for the night. It was really good.
Okay. There was no Bible study going on.
It was just making out. And some heavy petting, and then that was it, because I was too drunk.
Mm.
So I was there for probably about an hour or so.
What do you get out of that?
Just heavy petting.
You...
I did not finish.
Oh, did he?
Nope.
Y'all
Why?
Gays are
Why?
Fucking
Weird.
Ridiculous. That doesn't happen in the straight world.
How?
If someone's not coming, no one's leaving. Like, I don't know about y'all. Like, y'all fucking crazy. And I guarantee you every straight man in America would agree with me. Someone ain't coming, ain't nobody leaving.
Well, I mean, but I don't know why. Like, I get satisfaction off of, like, you know, we, you know, did stuff. And both of us felt like, ooh, we're pleasured. And but then I was like, I don't want to, I don't like to go all the way and just a hookup anyway in the first place. And so then at that point, it's like, you're drunk.
Man, gay culture
and it's
is
like,
so weird.
Well, but then it's like, but listen, don't take what I do as like the gospel for everybody. I may just be weird, but I was just like, I'm good, I'm done. And so then I got up and I went back to the hotel room. Mm. So, my two other stories for the cruise ship. Get on the cruise, we're having fun. And then, and I have to be very delicate with this story, and I'm not going to give too many details, but let's just say that the second night we were there, we were at one of the bars, the main bar that everyone goes to on the ship, and some performers from the ship were hanging out at the same bar we were.
You could just say employees.
Employees. Well, I already said performers.
I know. So I was like, why did you
I'm about
that
to say
specific?
It's fine. Not, but they had lots of performers on the ship.
Okay.
And so our group sort of melded together. And so we were all sort of hanging out, drinking, talking. And then there was one in particular that we sort of started, like, you know, as people are drunk and drinking and getting up and getting drinks and going to the bathroom, musical chairs start to happen. And then we sort of just end up in chairs next to each other. Mm. And so then at this point, like, we had been hanging out with like two different couples, gay couples that we met, and everyone thought they were being really sly by trying to be my wingman. And so as I got up to go get this gentleman who works on the ship a drink, my friend, I could hear them be like, Miguel's really nice.
Oh my gosh.
You
That's
you
so
and Miguel.
Embarrassing. That's so embarrassing
and
when
it's
your
like,
friends do that.
But you know, everyone's drunk. They're just having a good time. And I was like, oh,
slash,
God.
I would have done that.
Right. Because you're drunk.
You do.
Yeah, you do.
We all do it.
I know. But I was like, okay, this is not going to happen. Because I wasn't, just to preface it, when I got on this boat, I wasn't expecting to hook up with anyone. I'm like, I'm just here to have fun with my friends. So the night goes on, we're chatting, and I'm asking him all these questions about, you know, living on the ship and ship life, because I'm very curious about how that works.
Right.
And so he was telling me that they have to pay for drinks. They obviously don't get them for free. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I already paid for my drink package, so let me get you some drinks. And so we're drinking. And so then I could tell, like, once the buzz hit, I was like, so what would happen if you were to hook up with a guest on the ship? And he goes, well, clearly that's not supposed to happen. I've seen people get thrown off the ship, so that can't happen. And I said, well, what would happen if it did? And he goes, well, you would, you know, I would give you, or I would give someone my room number. They would come over at a nondescript time. Things would happen, and then we would have to act like we never knew each other. I said, okay, that's cool. About 30 minutes passed, and then I was feeling super confident, unlike any other time I do. And I opened up my phone, I opened up a note, and I said, well, put your room number in here, and I'll see you in 30 minutes.
I love that. I love that.
Wow. So I went over to his room.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah.
And it was great. It was fun. He's fantastic. Great, great, great guy. The only thing that was a little weird is that I saw him later in the week on the ship in a professional setting.
Ooh.
And we had to act like we didn't know each other. And so it was very like, oh, great performance. It was nice to see you.
Great performance.
Yeah.
In the bedroom.
I know what your dick looked like. It was really weird. So no, it was a fun time. And then there was another instance where I made out with someone, and then they sort of blew me off and didn't pay me any attention after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
That's awful.
But it was all in all, it was a fun trip. My poor friend Brandon, the last day when we were in Nassau, his side started hurting. So he went to the medical center, and come to find out that it was something with his pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the ship docked in Miami Saturday morning, he was rushed to the hospital in Miami, or one of the hospitals in Miami. And he didn't get back to Atlanta, where he lives, until Monday. So he was there the whole weekend. So I felt horrible for him. And I really wished I could have, like, stayed with him because he was just in Miami in a hospital bed the whole weekend. But I was like, girl, I can't afford them. Sorry.
Yeah.
But his parents, they came down on Sunday and they were there with him and they were able to go back with him.
What ended up happening? Is he okay now?
Last I heard, they were still running tests to figure out exactly. Like, I don't know if he's in the hospital now still in Atlanta, but I think that he was there, like, as of when, or today's Thursday, right? So, yeah, so he was there yesterday still.
Still in the hospital?
Yeah, they're still trying to run tests to figure out exactly what caused it.
Inflamed, infected, what?
I'm not 100% sure. He doesn't know all the details.
I need all these details.
I know. Well, he's been very spotty with his text.
Oh.
And so, because my friend and I, we're in this group text, and so we've been, like, trying to figure out exactly what's going on, but he hasn't been really, because, I mean, he's in a hospital trying to figure out what the fuck is wrong with him.
Yeah.
But as soon as I know, I'll let you know. But I felt so bad for him because it sort of ruined his trip. But I have a sneaking suspicion that it's going to change his drinking habits after, because I not a medical professional, obviously, but I think it had something to do with how much he drinks. And then he takes some other prescription pills that he's been prescribed. But I wonder if, like, his liver trying to process all that. And your pancreas. I mean, it's a lot. And he went on a vacation a week before that to Provincetown with coworkers and drank a lot. So I'm afraid that things might change.
No, I hope they do. I mean, for his sake, because you can't keep doing that to your body.
That's the conversation my friend and I were having, is that, you know, those drinking habits that we established in college, it's like it's catching up now that we're in our early 30s.
Well, you posted an article about gay culture and how that sort of perpetuates itself.
Yeah, it does.
Whereas a lot of the people that are my age, we don't, like, I that's a little bit different because I got divorced and I feel like I went sort of through like a re-entrance into my 20s for a little bit.
Right.
But, like, typically your drinking kind of calms down by, like, maybe late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. And then you still drink.
Right.
Like, you still gonna get drunk.
Right.
But you cannot keep up the pace of, like, college level drinking.
Right.
Your body can't handle it.
Well, and that's the thing, is that with gay people, in this article, it talked about how we don't have those benchmarks that, you know, straight people do. Well, I mean, we do now. I mean, we just got the right to marry.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, traditionally,
and it's a different culture.
It is. It's totally different. I mean, all the stuff that you go through when you're a teenager and in college, we normally don't go through. And so that's why I'm still such an awkward dater, because I never got that awkwardness out back then. And so it just lives right on in my soul now.
There's a lot going on.
It is. And so now it's like we're going to have to sort of change that up. And to be quite honest, it's a little scary to think about. I'm like, what do you, because my whole thought of, like, the weekend is you go out to the bar Friday night, you get drunk, you go to sleep, you wake up, you go to lunch, you drink some more. I mean, that's your weekend. I don't know what else you do outside of that.
You got to find some shit that doesn't involve drinking.
I guess I'll start going to the movies again.
You got
to
get some hobbies that aren't drinking.
I do CrossFit.
I know, but that's, like, you know, one thing that that's you do, like, all the time.
What else? I don't like to do anything else. Okay. I don't like anything else.
Sit.
What do you? No! I sit during the week. What do you do?
I mean,
I sit.
I would have to find out what, like, non-people with kids have do. Like, I think they do things. They go on little excursions.
You go hiking?
They go hike. They go to museums. They go to...
Every weekend? We don't have that many museums.
There's stuff. You do other stuff. Like, maybe some weekends you sit your ass at home and clean, or, like, and then...
Drink.
You go... I don't know. You just do things that don't necessarily involve getting blackout drunk.
It's not fun.
Well, Ryan is still in his 20s. He can't speak to that.
I don't drink that much. I don't think.
You were drunk last night.
No, I was not.
Were you not drunk last night,
no.
Ryan? You went to a concert.
I saw had to work in the morning.
I saw your Instagram story, and you were drinking last night.
I had a PBR.
One? You just had one?
Yeah.
That's so hipster of you.
I had one PBR.
Yeah, we took...
Do you have a...
We took a selfie in front of the PBR mural on the wall.
Yeah. That's like, PBRs were not popular anywhere except for like this area of upstate New York where they originate from, and that's where you get PBR. Or in St. Pete, where all suddenly the hipsters decided that PBR should have a resurgence, and now that's like a big thing here. I'm serious. Like, nobody
that's
else drinks
like
PBR.
All I drink.
Yeah.
Nobody if I go else... out and it's too expensive for anything else, I'm just like, PBR.
Exactly. Like, when I was in Ohio, PBR was equivalent to like... Natty Light, basically.
Oh,
like,
it's you better don't... than that.
Okay, well, you think so because it's popular here and right now.
But Natty Light is not good, though.
Mm-hmm. PBR is not great.
I think everybody would agree.
PBR is obviously better, but I'm just saying, like, it's a thing here.
You also got Rolling Rock.
I was just about to say, where does Rolling Rock count in
Rolling
that?
Rock tastes it's like weird. Meat.
It's got a different weird taste.
I would prefer
a nice, crisp, refreshing PBR.
I like PBR too, but I just...
Rolling Rock sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it just tastes stale.
Like meat, I'm telling you.
Like what sort of meat? Like bologna?
Old meat.
I don't know about
old bologna.
The meat. It just tastes stale, like flatter.
Yeah.
It's not... tasting fresh all the time.
It looks flat.
Like, I don't, maybe it's beer in green bottles. Maybe it's a thing because. Mm.
I think it's a can too. Maybe if the can sit in the wrong environment. I don't know.
I don't know, but I've never liked Rolling Rock.
I don't know.
Meat.
I don't like anything except for Corona.
Of course. Corona Light or Corona Extra?
Extra.
Both. Okay. Mix them together.
Yeah.
Corona 3/4.
I like to put them in a margarita.
You know what I started doing with my Corona? Because I got so many Coronas for my party, and I still have beer, and I still have wine at the house, by the way. We have a bunch of bottles of lime juice, and so I don't have a lot of fresh limes on hand, so I just do like a half a teaspoon of lime juice in every Corona.
You know
Corona.
What you do is you do loaded Coronas.
With that liquor?
Yeah.
I don't think I have that liquor anymore.
What liquor is it?
Lime.
It's like a lemon lime liquor.
Oh, okay.
A liqueur.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Holly, can I have some of that alcohol for my housewarming party?
I mean, I'll bring some over.
Can you? How much are you going to bring?
I don't know. A couple bottles.
I just decided my housewarming is going to be in a Labor Day weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I have some friends that are going to come into town for it. And so I was like, well, if they're coming into town for this, I feel like I would need to make it worth their while. And they can make it extended.
Out of town. I'll be in LA.
Fine.
Are you going the whole weekend?
Friday to Wednesday.
Oh, damn.
He's going on a job interview.
No.
That's why he's going out there. Is that why you're going?
No, I'm not. Taryn's visiting her sister, and I'm going too.
For a job interview.
No.
Bitch, I know how this works. What do you think I was fucking born yesterday?
There's no job interview.
Do you know
interview.
How many quote-unquote vacations I've
There's
gone
no
on?
No job interview.
It was actually an interview. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm getting out of town for Thanksgiving, a.k.a. drone, going to Panama City to interview.
Exactly. Do you know how many vacations Holly and I have taken together, but we were flying somewhere else for a job interview?
We fly a lot of places together.
We do. And every time, and then it's so funny, because it literally just could be like a vacation we're going on together.
Yeah.
But then we feel guilty, and so people see us, and they're like, oh. Oh, what are y'all doing? And we're like,
I don't know nothing. Why?
Remember when we were in Panama City and we were interviewing here and we got all of us on the plane and there was like some really avid listeners sitting on the plane too. And they're like, oh, hey, where are you guys going? And we were like, conference.
Mom,
radio,
grandma,
people,
great grandma.
Things.
I'm going to go buy a stone.
Places. And they were like,
okay.
That's cool.
Like, no one ever thought that we were actually going on the job interview.
No, and we acted like the worst. It was like the worst kept secret to us. Anyway, what happens.
Well, there we go. We're done.
Yes.
It's 58 minutes in.
I feel like I am just emotionally and mentally drained, and now I have to go give a financial planner my money.
Oh, why do you feel emotionally drained? We didn't rake you through the coals today.
Okay, I'm not emotionally. I feel like that Donald Trump conversation just, I don't have anything left to give.
Do you feel like... Do you feel like I accosted you, Holly?
No, slightly.
Maybe something.
Slightly accosted.
Maybe you need to get your broken out back checked out.
Maybe.
You're blown out.
I'm blown out. I need to get my back cracked. My back's fine,
you
actually.
Need to get it blown back in.
Yes, I know. Ew. Really weird and gross.
All right, Ryan, what's all of your social media?
Like, for someone who doesn't actually believe any of that bullshit, I feel totally accosted. Anyway.
It's Radio Mick Gibb, MCGIB.
Am I like a a bad person to debate with because I feel like I get really emotional.
Well, I think, you know how
you're just
you...
like, y'all can shut the fuck up.
Right. I think that's how it is. It's just, it's when you're so strongly on one side or the other, that's how it is.
Right.
Because yeah. you get mad at the people who are on the other side of the aisle, mm-hmm. if you will, and you're like, you can't even
no,
talk to
no,
them.
No, you're not like mad. You're just like, oh yeah, I'm going to understand the other side, but shut the fuck up.
Right. That's the problem. That's actually a large problem of what's happening in America, where you're like, those fuckers don't want to hear shit. And then you're like, don't come to me. I'm like, okay, but I'm trying to converse with you. Wow. Okay. All right.
Stupid idiots. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
That's what they said about you, so it's fine.
Probably. I'm more intelligent.
No, are
Holly,
you? Because you just called someone a stupid idiot.
No, I'm kidding. I don't mean stupid. Holly, what's all your social media?
I am a libertarian.
She said your social media handle?
Yes. I'm libertarian with a blown out back.
Anybody can get their back blown out. Don't have to be Democrat, Republican.
Everybody that's one thing that can unify us all.
Not everybody, we all want to get our back.
I'm running on
there's
that platform.
Nuns, they don't get their back blown out.
You're right.
I was about to say something really inappropriate.
See, that's
nope.
Nope.
I'm not
Radio
gonna say.
Holly is all of my stuff.
Okay. All right. Mine is Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller. Make sure to please, if you listen to this on iTunes, make sure to rate and subscribe and leave us a little review.
Yeah.
Little review.
Might as well.
On iTunes, and we may read it on the podcast. You can also listen at hot1015tampabay.com, or you can always download the Hot 101.5 app. Until next week, bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.